Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Pinch of Pixie Dust, the podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa.
And I'm your other host, Mandy.
And we are here to talk to you about all things Disney.
As always.
Yes. So, for today's episode, we are going to be giving you guys some fun facts on Animal Kingdom's Kilimanjaro Safari. I absolutely love this ride, so I'm really excited to talk about it.
Oh, same. This is one of my favorite rides. Like, I would put it up there with, like, one of my favorite rides in all the parks.
I agree. It's so interesting. You learn on it. I love looking at the animals. You're not super hot on it. The queue's nice.
Yeah, and it's not the same ride every time.
No.
You're going to see different animals. You're going to have a different driver who knows different fun facts. So I'm sure they know all of them, but they just tell you certain
different
things.
Fun facts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just love the experience.
I do too. All right, so we are just going to get right into the fun facts. The first one that I have is when Walt Disney was originally designing the concept for the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland, he wanted to use real animals, and the idea was very quickly scrapped, and they went with the audio animatronics instead because, you know, they were like, well, I don't know about the safety, and
sounds hard. California doesn't have enough room. Exactly. Like, Florida has so much more space, so it was more feasible there than it was in California, for sure.
Exactly. So then decades later, when Imagineers began the concept for Animal Kingdom just as a theme park, they knew it was finally time to give Walt's idea the opportunity. That's how they built Kilimanjaro Safari.
Love that. It actually opened on April 22nd, 1998, which, like, doesn't seem like that long ago to me, but realistically, it is at this point.
Yeah, it really is, but it doesn't feel like the safari has been open that long.
Yeah, but it definitely has.
Interesting. Kilimanjaro Safari is the second largest attraction at Walt Disney World. It's so large that, in fact, you can fit the entire Magic Kingdom park inside, like, the land of the ride.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. I actually have that one, too.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
I stole it.
That's okay. Stealer, you.
I am a stealer.
There are over 30 different animals and birds on the chart above the driver when you ride the ride. Not over 30. There are exactly 30. So when next time you're on the ride, take a look at them. There are 30, and you can see what is all on the safari.
Okay, so I know we have talked about this fun fact before, probably when we've discussed the ride just in general, but it is about the original storyline of the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline was that it led guests on an adventure to stop poachers who had trespassed onto the Harambe Wildlife Preserve, and we were supposed to rescue Little Red, who is a baby elephant. Before the park opened, the attraction included a scene, and I didn't know this, where Big Red, the mother elephant, was killed, and you could actually, like, see that scene.
I feel like I do remember that, actually.
But that was removed from the attraction before opening due to negative responses during the tests.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to see the baby's mom dead. It's like Bambi all over again.
Yeah, it's
like, I hated Bambi.
It's twisted. So the storyline to save Little Red remained, with guests finding her. They rescued her at the end. Everything was happy and everything was good. But eventually the storyline was removed, and they wanted to focus on the animals themselves and a conservation message instead of poachers.
I get that, but also, like, I liked that the ride had a story when it opened.
Yes.
So I kind of missed the saving the elephant storyline, because you could still see the animals, you still learned about them, and you, like, were immersed in, like, this story. So I'm kind of sad they took it out, honestly.
I don't remember it, so I don't really have a feeling either way.
Yeah.
I'm very happy they took out the dead mom elephant. That makes me very happy.
Same.
That shouldn't have even been a thought in the first place. I feel like that's traumatizing to children and adults alike. But, like, yeah, I feel like having a story for it would mean something, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you feel like there's a purpose.
Right.
Of, like, saving that elephant.
Like, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
I guess, like, after the first time, though, like, having the same story, like, you know, it's just...
It gets old.
I guess, but like I said, I did enjoy the story.
Although, you know what? I care about saving the Iguanodon every time that I go on Dinosaur.
Exactly.
So what's the difference?
You're... Exactly. I like that point.
I care about that Iguanodon.
I do, too. Oh, man. Okay. So, there's a lot of... What's the word I'm looking for? A lot of, like, the best or the largest animals on this ride. So, for example, you're going to see the largest land animal, aka the African elephant. You're going to see the fastest animal, the cheetah. You're going to see the largest horned animal, the rarest animal, which is the black rhino. So, you get to see a lot of nature's, like, biggest and best animals on this ride.
Which is really interesting.
It is.
I like that. Okay, so nothing to do with the animals, but for all of you who really enjoy Hidden Mickeys, mm-hmm. I have a fun fact about one of them. I don't know if there are more, but if you're looking for Hidden Mickeys and you look on the island that the flamingos are normally on, it's right past the elephants. Located on the left-hand side of the truck, there is an island that is shaped like Mickey if you look at it from above.
Oh, that's cool.
But that's the only one I know. So if there are more, you guys gotta let us know. Because I do find them interesting.
Agreed. Okay, sometimes you'll see black vultures on the ride. Only you're not supposed to.
Okay.
Because they're actually native to Florida and aren't supposed to be there.
Oh, well, that makes sense. And I guess that's why they always comment on, like, the Disney ducks who just kind of swim by.
Right, right.
Because they're like, what are you doing
here? Like, you're not supposed to be here.
No way.
You don't belong in Africa.
Get out of here. Okay. I think this is very interesting. So there are audio cues that are used to call in the various animal species to their enclosures at night. And those sounds include drums, whistles, horns, bells, and duck calls.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the hippos, they call with a triangle. The elephants are the ones that are called by drums. I think those are the only two examples I have, but...
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder what it is that makes them, like, what makes them attracted to that sound.
I'm guessing that it's kind of like any animal, you use positive reinforcement, so when they come to that sound, they get probably a treat or some food, and eventually once they hear that sound, they associate it with
the food.
Yeah, so they'll come for it, regardless if there's food or not.
That's interesting, and I wonder, like, why they choose certain ones for certain animals. Like, why a triangle for a hippo, you know?
Yeah, that I'm not sure.
I don't know if they know, but...
Like, I get the one for the crocodile makes sense, though, because it's like they hit something underwater.
Well, that makes sense.
So that makes sense, because, like, the sound has to travel through the water, so I get that one, but...
Yeah, I just wonder why they choose certain things.
Yeah. So, my next one, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce this, so if I get it wrong, I apologize. The acacia trees?
Okay.
They're not... actually acacia trees. They're just kind of made to look like them. They're actually Florida oak trees trimmed to have a flat top. Real acacia trees actually wouldn't survive the Florida winters, which is hilarious to me because, you know, Florida is not cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, Africa is a lot different than Florida still a lot warmer. So, yeah, they can't have real acacia trees, so they just use the Florida oak trees.
Interesting. Do you have anything on the rocks?
I don't think.
So I think this is more of a common fun fact. I think a lot more people know this. But Disney uses air-conditioned rocks and other temperature tricks to make the animals stay within the view of the guests for the safari ride.
Oh, I love that.
But, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, you want to...
Because, like, they're wild animals.
Right.
So they're going to go do their own thing.
Well, and they have needs, so they're going to go to those rocks for those needs to cool down and whatnot. So that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay, yet another tree that's not real.
Oh.
And again, not sure if I'm saying this right, but the baobab trees...
Baobab. I like that name. If that's what it is, that's a fun...
Baobab.
That's fun.
But they're not real. They're made of concrete and are actually used to store food and supplies for the animals.
Oh, that's smart, though.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Very smart.
It's like a more natural-looking way to, like, have the supplies they need rather than, like, a storage shed or something.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is very interesting. When obtaining animals for the opening of Animal Kingdom, Disney opted to bring them in from other zoos and reputable breeders rather than actually taking them from the wild.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Okay, my next one. The rickety bridge that you cross, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It only activates if the driver slows down to 5 miles per hour or less. So if you, like, yeah, so if you drive across it faster than that, it's not going to activate. So, like, because I don't think that would be safe if it, like,
that makes sense.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it has, like, a trigger.
I was going to say, I wonder if we've ever driven across it and, like, it didn't do its thing.
I'm pretty sure they usually do slow down, but I can't remember a time that they didn't, so.
Yeah. We're going to have, I'm going to look out for that now, like, every time, like, did you slow down? Are we going 5 miles an hour or less? Huh? Driver?
Are we?
Are we, driver? Are we? Okay. So, it is generally considered that the best time to ride Kilimanjaro Safari is first thing in the morning, which makes sense to me, or around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the time that the animals tend to be the most active. So, the morning makes total sense to me. It's cool. There's not a lot of, like, sun, so they could kind of roam around. But, like, I feel like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, it's hot.
Yeah, that surprises me, actually. Yeah. I wonder if it has something to do with, like, their feeding schedule or something.
Maybe.
Like, maybe they eat, take, like, a little break, and then they're, like,
ready to go again.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what their feeding schedule is, obviously. That's just an educated guess. But that's interesting. I would not guess 2 or 3 either.
Yeah, I was like, that's, like, when the sun is at its, like, peak.
Yeah.
You don't want to be out in that.
No.
Interesting.
Okay, I find this hilarious.
Okay.
Well, kind of sad, too, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so the zebras had to be removed from the attraction because they were bullies.
Oh, yeah. Not the zebras.
Yeah, so apparently they had to be removed from the ride until 2012 because they were being aggressive towards not only each other, but also they were biting vehicle tires.
Were they, like, popping tires on the track?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And, but also, this is the sad part. They were bullying a poor baby antelope.
Aww. So baby antelope.
Yeah. Poor baby antelope didn't do anything to you, zebras. What's wrong with you?
I do think it's funny they were popping tires.
Yeah, same.
That's hilarious.
So, but they were allowed back only after they had acclimated better to their environment and stopped being bullies.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Aww. Okay, let's see. So, apparently, the Kilimanjaro Safari ride is one of the most popular places for cast members to work in all of Walt Disney World.
I would want to work there, too, so I get
it. I would, too, so I get it. But I think that's interesting.
Also, like, I feel like riding or driving one of the cars would be, like, a super fun experience. Because, number one, you'd get to learn a lot.
Right.
Because you have to for your job. You get to sit all day because you're driving.
You're shaded.
Because, you're shaded,
like,
they
have the canopy on top.
Yep. And you get to, like, watch animals all day. Like, I would love that.
And, like, you're not driving at fast speed, so there's no worry of, like, safety concerns.
Exactly.
And the animals aren't close enough, except, like, the giraffes.
Right.
But, like, what's a giraffe gonna do?
Right.
Just, like, throw a leaf out there, and it'll be like, delicious.
Exactly. The safari was designed so the animals couldn't escape their areas. This is obvious for many reasons. Number one, if they were left to just wander, they would start hunting each other, and that would not be a good sight for a little child or anyone to see, really.
No,
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that either.
And also, like, so not only for the animal's safety, but for your safety. Because, honestly, like, can you imagine a lion, like, coming up to the car? Not a great thing.
No.
Not a great situation.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's a reason it was designed that way.
Yeah, so I have a little thing to, like, piggyback off of that fun fact. While the animals that you see on the safari appear to be free-roaming, they are contained, like you said, to their specific ecosystems by camouflage walls, water barriers, and apparently there are, like, cattle guards that go around.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, the lions are kept in their location by an 18-foot deep and 20-foot wide moat that separates them from your ride vehicle. But Disney designed it so that you could still see those lions. And they look close, but they're really not.
Right.
Which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
I like the visual tricks.
I agree. Okay, I have a couple different fun facts about the vehicle you ride in, so I'll break those up.
Okay.
So first, each GMC Jeep-like vehicle cost $100,000
each.
That is so expensive.
That is really expensive. Holy.
Yeah, like, can you imagine? Like, my car costs $100,000. What do you drive? Like, a Mercedes? Nah, a Jeep.
A Jeep! That's crazy. Okay, I also have some about the ride vehicle, so this will be fun. The trucks are actually free-moving vehicles. They don't run on a track. The driver is responsible for your safety, as well as the safety of the animals while they're on the safari. And this is why the cars will stop from time to time,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's unexpected, because they have to stop if an animal is on the path.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, each car seats 36 people, and actually sits 8 feet above the ground. Obviously, that's for, like, sight reasons.
Right.
And they run on propane.
Oh. Okay.
Which I find interesting. They don't use gasoline for something that large.
Yeah. Okay, so at the end of the day, the trucks are all driven off the property, and they're parked in a lot where they could be serviced before they start the next day.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know they did, like, daily service checks. Yeah, that's cool. So the vehicle was designed so that you actually, as a passenger, feel bumps like you would, like, going through a real savanna.
That makes sense.
But it's also designed so the driver doesn't feel that bounciness, because they're doing it all day, obviously, and that would be hard on their bodies. So while you feel the bounces, the driver does not.
Yeah, I read, like, the further back that you sit in the car, the more intense the ride is.
Yes.
Okay, I have two more fun facts. What do you have?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. Then I will finish mine pretty quickly. So to create the Kilimanjaro Safari, Disney had to move over 1.5 million cubic yards of dirt and then place 2.3 million trees, bushes, and plants.
That's a lot of work.
To create this ride.
I wonder how long that took.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Forever.
Forever. And then my last one, okay, so this is kind of gross and also funny.
Okay.
So what a good way to end this. 2,000 pounds of manure is produced by the elephants.
Alone.
At Disney's Animal Kingdom every single day. But Disney recycles the fertilizer, so it goes across the grounds of the Disney property. So, fun.
I mean, realistically, though, that's smart.
It's very smart.
Because, like, fertilizer or mulch or whatever for your... Yeah, it's very expensive.
And Disney has a ton of land.
Exactly. So that's really smart to use the animals'
stuff. But just by the elephants alone.
How would you like that job?
I would hate that
job. That job would be horrible.
Like, and imagine being that cast member that's so excited to start, like, their Disney college program.
Yep.
And they get placed in, like, the Kilimanjaro Safari, and they're so excited. And then your job is to, like, be the pooper scooper. I'd be so mad.
And you have to, like, okay, the elephants are the largest land animal. I would imagine other things about them are large, too.
Yeah.
So.
And I bet you it's, like, heavy.
Yeah, and smelly.
Oh, that would be the worst. And in the heat? Oh, God. Oh, God. No.
Oh, that's so gross.
I'm so sorry for anybody that has to be behind the elephants. I apologize to all of you if you're listening. Oh.
Yikes.
That's rough.
That is rough. You know what isn't rough, Alyssa?
What's that?
Our listeners, of course.
They're
great.
They're amazing.
And we want to thank them. Now, this is for listening to the episode Spring Has Sprung. Thank you to our listeners in San Jose, California, Rochester, New York, St. Paul, Minnesota. Shout out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Cold Lake, Alberta, and Canada, West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, Dexter, New York. Thank you to our listeners in Honolulu, Hawaii, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Miami, Florida, Ashburn, Virginia. Shout out to Calgary, Alberta, and Canada, Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, Monroeville, Pennsylvania, and last but certainly not least, Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Well, everyone, that will do it for this week's episode. We want to know, what is your favorite animal that you see on the Kilimanjaro Safari? Let us know on Facebook or Instagram.
At A Pinch of Pixie Dust, a podcast.
You can also email us at pinchofpixiedust@outlook.com. And until next time, guys,
we hope your lives are full of faith, trust, and pixie dust.
Bye, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye, everybody.